We begin a new sermon series today that we put on hold from last week, but we start it today. And the sermon series is called New Year, Same Promises. And the idea behind it is that often in the new year, we make promises to ourselves about how we're going to be different, things we're going to do, things we're not going to eat, things we're going to eat, all of these promises that we make to ourselves. And often, maybe even by now, we have broken those promises to ourselves or not been able to live up to them all the ways that we had hoped to. And so, even in the midst of that, as we go through all these changes and break promises to ourselves, we remember that God's promises, God's faithfulness, God's love stays the same. No matter how fragile and failing we are, God's promises stay the same. So this morning we're going to look at this picture of God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love through the story of Jesus' baptism. And I'm not sure whether it's a good thing to have an extra week to think about a sermon or not. Let's decide about that later. You can take a poll about that. But out of this story that we're going to read, the thing that kept coming back to me over and over again is this: there's a paradox in what baptism means for us, in a way. On one side, in baptism, we recognize that God loves us just as we are, that as we come to God, no matter what shape, condition we're in, God already is loving us, that God loves us just as we are. And at the same time, as we come to baptism, God is asking us to die to all that we are so that God's love can more and more abide in us and flow out from us. So on one side, we know that God loves us just as we are, but at the same time, we come and we're asked to die to who we are so that we can be what God wants us to be. So that's what I'm going to try to figure out a little bit here as we read this text and talk about it a little bit. So Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So what I want to look at is this theme that we're talking about and this story, and look at it through the lens of the kind of two main procedures, I guess, that we have for baptism. So in the Christian church, overall, there is child baptism, right? You can bring a child to be baptized, and then there's adult baptism, and we can have great debates about it in the history of the church. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is talk about child baptism and what it says about God's faithfulness and God's promises and God's love. What child baptism reminds us of is that as we bring a child to be baptized, it reminds us that this is about what God is doing. It's about God's initiative, God's work. The baby is not making a profession of faith, right? The baby is not claiming anything or doing anything right, you know, in order to be baptized and be called a child of God. Child baptism reminds us that God loves us as we are. And God is always seeking to bring more and more people into His family. That's what child baptism reminds us of. And in our story today, what we hear at the end whenever God says to Jesus, "This is my beloved. This is my beloved." When we come to the waters of baptism, we need to hear those same words said over us. Right? We hear those same words said over us. And it's a lot easier with the baby, right? The baby, we're like, "Oh, surely that is a loved one of God." But we need to hear, all of us, as we come to these waters, we need to hear God saying, "You are my beloved." And sometimes we listen to this story of this text and we rightly focus on how it makes Jesus seem unique and different, right? God, the Spirit comes down, God speaks, and we say, this is epiphany. This is showing us that Jesus is unique and different, which it is. But the point of Jesus' uniqueness and differentness, and the point of all that Jesus did in His life that was life, death, and resurrection that was unique and different, was so that we could follow and participate in all of that. So when we come to the waters, just like Jesus came to the waters, that's what we recognize, right? When the water is poured on us, or when we go under the water, we say that the Spirit seals us. The Spirit claims us as God's own. And we hear God say, "This is a beloved child of mine." Now, this other aspect of baptism, this other procedure that we go through, right, is adult baptism. And it has more to do with kind of a cleansing and repentance. And we focus more on turning away from an old life and being baptized and cleansed. And in our story, this leads to some awkward moments, right? Because this is what John understood as baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It meant that you were turning away from things and you were going to start anew and look again toward God's promises. And Jesus comes to him and he says, "I don't think you understand what's going on here. Like, you're doing pretty good. You don't need this. You don't need to do this." But this is again where in Jesus' uniqueness, John recognizes how Jesus is different. But what Jesus wants to show is how his life, the way he lives it, is to be a pattern and an example for how we are to live. So he goes to the waters of baptism. Because he could have walked up and said, "I am very God and very man. I don't need this. Follow me." Right? That would have been legitimate. He could have done that. But that's not what he does. Basically, he's saying, "I'm going to let go. I'm going to empty myself of my pride, the authority, the power that I have. I'm going to let go and empty myself of all of that. Even my divinity. I'm going to let go of all of that and go under this water to show you this pattern, to show you this way." And that's what brings up the second part of the paradox. Yes, God loves us just as we are, but even Jesus, even Jesus goes to the water, emptying himself of all that he might claim for himself, and says, "Here I am." And in that, calls all of us, as we come to the water of baptism, to look and think of how the things that we hold on to, that we think are so important about ourselves and who we are, to let them go. To let them go. In Catholic churches, you know, when you come in, right, it's usually the water right there, somewhere at the beginning of the door, so you can dip your hand in the water and cross yourself, right? It's appropriate in many ways to say, as we come into this church, as we come into this building, to remind ourselves over and over again of how in that water we are asking to die to ourselves, to be crucified again with our Lord, to die to these things that we hold on to, and let God be all in our lives. When we were on the mission trip last summer. When we were on the mission trip with the youth last summer, the whole kind of thing ended with a devotion kind of moment at the end, and it was really powerful. But what they asked us to do was to write down something on a piece of paper that was standing in your way of, you know, your relationship with Jesus or your relationship with God. What is the thing that's in your way? And for the youth and for, I think, even the leaders, it was something that we really were like, really struck us, like emotionally people were like on edge, and mentally it was difficult, like to not only write it down, but also to really think about how am I going to be able to change this thing that's so important to me, or so has such a hold on my life, in order to move on into the next place where God is calling me. And I think that's what this text is asking us to think more and more about. I remember seeing this video of, I don't remember where it was, but there's water falling off some kind of cavern or something. I don't know what it is, but it's a little drops, and there's a little child that is trying to catch the water, but in like this, right? Like reaching out and trying to grab the water. And so it's like, I think we are like that sometimes. We get this sense that God is moving in our lives, and we open up a little bit, but then we cling back to the things that are safe, the things that help define us in certain ways that we are used to, and we hold on to it. But what Jesus is showing us in this pattern that he's offering us here is that if we want to catch the water, if we want to let God's love flow into our lives more and more, we have to let go of those things. We have to open our lives up so that the water can come in and fill us up. Because the truth is that God loves us just as we are. God loves us just as we are right now. But God is also trying to stuff more and more of His love into our lives. And the more that we hold on and cling to whatever it is, if it's our nationality, our race, our socioeconomic status, our idea of beauty, our idea of health, or whatever it is, the more we hold on to that, even though those are good things. Jesus is letting go of His divinity. That's a good thing. Divinity is a good thing. But He's setting it aside, right? He's not clinging on to it. That's what Paul tells us in Philippians, right? That's what we're being called to in this. Is that even some of the things that can be good in your life, You have to open up your life more and more so that God's love can come in and fill you up. And then filling you up will overflow into the lives of others. I've never really thought about it this way, but when I was reading the story this time, thinking about this, how Jesus goes into the waters of baptism, and although he knows all this stuff about who he is and how he could have acted in that situation, still lets go of all of that and goes into the water. But you notice what happens as soon as he comes out. The Spirit comes down and God speaks, saying, "This is my beloved." I think this is what God is trying to say, is that God's love is there. God's love is steadfast. God's love is true. And even if it seems difficult, when we open up, God's love will come to fill that space. God's love will come and take over that space. And even those things that we let go of can build up anew in different ways because they are shaped now by what God is trying to do in our lives. So, as we think about this new year, as we think about what we need to do to be, you know, the better us, the new us in this new year, instead of holding tightly to some of the things that people tell us are the right things for us to be and to do, let us just open ourselves as much as possible to let go of as much as we can, knowing that God will rush in to any space that we open up in our minds and our hearts. And that is a true, steadfast promise that has been around from generation to generation and will lead us forward much better than any resolution that we can make to ourselves. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much that you care for us, that you have shown from generation to generation that when we call out to you, you hear us, that in the midst of our struggles and troubles, you are right there with us, and that the more that we open our lives to you, the more that you will come in and make us new and give us a life more abundant, a life more as you desire. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.